the first in a series of podcasts which seeks to explain the complex issues arising for NHS bodies in connection with the judgment of the Court of Appeal, which has approved the use of Avastin off-label to treat NHS wet age-related macular degeneration patients, to which I will refer as wet AMD patients. These podcasts have been prepared by David Locke QC and David Blundell QC, who were instructed by Mills and Reeves solicitors on behalf of 12 clinical commissioning groups in the northeast of England, who had adopted a policy to promote the use of Avastin as an option for treating wet AMD patients in the hospitals in their area. The Court of Appeal decision was handed down on 25 March 2020. It is an extremely detailed and complex judgment which runs over 213 paragraphs. On the British and Irish Legal Information Institute website at www.bailii.org, where it can be read in full. The first instance judgment by Mrs. Justice Whipple in 2018 is also on the Bailey website. In order to get a full understanding of these issues, it is probably necessary to read both comprehensive judgments in full. The issues arising in this case have limited relevance to the present pandemic, which is rightly absorbing all of the focus of NHS doctors and policymakers at the moment. However, when the present pandemic hopefully passes, the pressures on the NHS will remain, and the requirement to ensure that the NHS delivers both clinically effective and cost-effective medicine to the greatest extent possible within the budget allocated by Parliament will continue to remain a high priority. The important message from this case is that the NHS has much greater freedom than was previously understood to make decisions about which drugs and other medical treatments should be provided to NHS patients in order to ensure the NHS delivers both clinically effective and cost-effective medicine. Thus, when the present pandemic hopefully eases, the NHS will continue to have to make difficult decisions about how medicine is delivered. Case should assist the NHS to make more informed, rational and cost-effective decisions, and thus deliver more care to more NHS patients within a fixed budget. In order to explain the complex issues arising in this case, we have divided this podcast into the following six parts. First, an explanation of the regulatory background to drug licensing in the EU. Secondly, an explanation of the background to the treatment of wet AMD within the NHS. Thirdly, details of the policy adopted by the CCGs and the modes of implementation. Fourthly, the legal basis of the challenges brought by Bayer and Novartis to try and stop the implementation of this policy and the defences advanced by the CCGs. Fifthly, an explanation of the decisions reached by the Court of Appeal in rejecting that challenge. And finally, an explanation of what is likely to happen next in this litigation and how the NHS can use this result to benefit NHS patients. However, before we start, we should say a little about nomenclature. Refer to the three pharmaceutical companies as Bayer, Novartis and Roche. There are a large number of different companies within the legal umbrella of each of these pharmaceutical giants. For present purposes, it is not necessary for us to identify which particular company within the Roche, Bayer or Novartis group of companies is involved in any particular part of this saga. We'll also refer to the relevant drugs, namely Avastin, Lucentis and Eylea, by their brand names. All medicinal drugs have a non-proprietary name, which is the name for the active ingredient of the medicine that is decided by an expert committee and is understood internationally. Hence, the active ingredient in Avastin is bevacizumab. But, as much as possible, we will refer to Avastin as Avastin to cover both the original form of the drug and its compounded form, albeit that is also referred to as compounded bevacizumab, or CB. We should also say something at the outset of this podcast series about the position of the pharmaceutical companies. We wish to make it clear that it is not part of the explanations we set out to ascribe any element of bad faith, dishonesty, malpractice or inappropriate behaviour to any of the pharmaceutical companies in this saga. Pharmaceutical companies are profit-making companies that are required to operate their businesses in order to deliver profits to their shareholders. In doing this, they devise and develop drugs and other medical treatments which can be of enormous benefit to patients and save lives. Pharmaceutical companies are perfectly entitled to operate their businesses in any manner which maximises their profits, subject, of course, to the constraints of the law. They're not charities and they're not public bodies. If a pharmaceutical company sees a public body adopting a practice which it believes to be unlawful and which threatens its profits, it is entirely legitimate for the pharmaceutical company to challenge the public body by arguing that the practice is unlawful. Pharmaceutical companies have a duty to protect the interests of its shareholders, and that can involve challenging public bodies which unlawfully act in a way which threatens their income streams and profits. This case is about the entirely legitimate clash of interest between pharmaceutical companies and NHS bodies, and the role of the court is to adjudicate where the line lies between those two sets of legitimate interests. As an introduction, we invite you to click on the first part of the podcast, which seeks to explain the legal and regulatory background against which the issues in this case were considered.